I'm going to close your eyes if you're comfortable. Inhale a deep breath. And think of something that happened over the last year or so that you didn't see coming. Something you couldn't have imagined would happen. Good, bad, doesn't matter. Just something that you couldn't imagine, and it happened. When you're ready, you can open your eyes and just hold that image with you. You don't have to remember doing anything with it. Just remembering that things happen that you can't imagine. When I was a kid, and sometimes still now, I play a little game with myself where I imagine the future in great detail. The more vivid, the better, so that I can rule out possible outcomes. My thinking is that if I can think of something happening in a certain way, then that guarantees that it won't happen exactly that way, because nothing ever happens exactly the way that you think it will. Because life is always a great surprise, at least to me. And so I thought if I could narrow down the possibilities of what might happen by imagining different possible future scenarios, it helped me have an idea of what could happen or control the future somehow. Anyway, so I would do that, and it went for things that I did want to happen and things that I didn't want to happen, and I would just imagine and then think like, okay, well, now that won't happen. And that is one of the things that I love about myself, is that no matter how down I am or how discouraged or depressed, there's always this part of me that is so excited to find out what's going to happen next, and exactly how it will happen, because I know that I cannot imagine. So when I heard Rob Bell preach about this verse, Ephesians 3:20, on his podcast many years ago, I think it was almost 10 years ago, on the Robcast, it kind of lit me on fire, because I had never heard it before, more than all we ask or imagine. And it so perfectly described this thing that I had felt since childhood, that life is always more than we could ever ask or imagine. So then when I decided to finally get a Bible verse tattooed on my arm, as my kids had always said, when I would say, like, maybe I'll get a tattoo someday, and they'd go, oh, what are you going to get, a Bible verse? And I'd say, yeah. So I knew that that was the one that I wanted to get. That was the thing I wanted to look down and be reminded of many times each day, more than all we ask or imagine. And the thing about this verse is that sometimes more than all we ask or imagine, the more is not something that you want. The more is not always a good more. Mm. Sometimes the more breaks your heart wide open. And that's where I am today, heartbroken. Some of you know that I recently experienced a very big loss in my life, my best friend. Sorry, I'm gonna cry, I just can't stop it. My best friend Jeff died. He was my best friend for 16 years. He was the person who knew me better than anyone else and loved me more than anyone else has ever loved me. He laughed at every dumb joke I ever made. He laughed at every "that's what she said" say, no matter how ill-timed or inappropriate. He was my best audience. I can picture the way he would grin at me and the delight on his face, even when he was shaking his head in exasperation. He knew things about me that I don't know about myself. Sometimes he'd tell me a story about us that I had forgotten. And he held these parts of me, parts of my life that no one else did. And he took those parts of me with him. The Elizabeth who was best friends with Jeff is gone now too, and she will never come back. Jeff dying when he did, and in the way that he did, is not something that I could have ever imagined, and it's not something that I would have ever asked for. And I'm so sad. I'm so sad. But I'm not wishing that it hadn't happened. I'm not wishing it away. I'm not angry at God for taking Jeff too soon. Although I wish that he could have lived longer. My heart is broken. But I have big faith that not only will it all be okay, but that it already is okay. That my heart is broken open so that it can be filled up with more love, more joy, and greater understanding. And that in this process, my heart is becoming more tender towards others and toward myself. Just before he died, Jeff told me that he was excited for whatever was ahead. He said that although he loved this life so much, and he did, he loved it so much, that he was looking forward to the next part of his journey. And I told him that I wished I could go with him, because we did everything together. But what I realize now is that I am also on the next part of my journey, finding out who I am now, finding out what my life will look like without Jeff in it. I don't know what the next chapter of my story will be, but I know that it's going to be different than I imagined, and more than all I asked or imagined. But now, I'm going to talk about the part of this verse that isn't on my arm, and it's the most important part, which is the end of the verse. According to the power at work within us. Now to the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to God's power that is at work within us. It's not the power out there somewhere floating above us. It's inside us, the power at work within us. It's not magic. It's us. It's God within us. We are not only made in God's image, we have God inside of us. Sometimes that power feels pretty scary. It's too big to get our arms around and too heavy to carry alone. So we try to shut it out. We back away. We numb out. We work too much, drink too much, sleep too much, smoke too much, whatever we can to not feel that power within us. But what we can do, and what I hope we're doing here tonight, is to hold each other up, to take turns carrying each other's burdens, and not just each other's burdens, but each other's hopes, our big griefs, and our big dreams, more than all we ask or imagine, however that looks. Jeff and I had a thing that we used to say to each other when one of us was having a hard time. It's sort of a cheesy Hallmark card kind of sentiment, and I think one of us saw it on Instagram, probably me. A friend is someone who knows the song in your heart and who will sing it back to you when you've forgotten the words. Jeff and I knew each other's songs, which I think is a way of saying that we saw God in each other. We saw it and reflected it and held that power for each other when we couldn't hold it for ourselves. When he died, I didn't know who else could do that for me, and I felt lost. I still feel lost, and I still feel sad. But standing here in front of you all, I see that there are still people who will see God in me. People who will sing with me a different song. A new song that I'm still learning. Maybe one that I'm still writing. And as sad as I am, I'm so excited to hear how it's going to sound. I'm gonna close with my favorite poem, which you may have heard me read before, if you've been here before. I keep it in my wallet because it is too long to tattoo on my arm. And to me, this poem says the same thing that Paul is saying in Ephesians: more than all we ask or imagine. Happiness by Jane Kenyon. There's just no accounting for happiness, or the way it turns up like a prodigal who comes back to the dust at your feet, having squandered a fortune far away. And how can you not forgive? You make a feast in honor of what was lost, and take from its place the finest garment, which you saved for an occasion you could not imagine. And you weep night and day to know that you were not abandoned, that happiness saved its most extreme form for you alone. No, happiness is the uncle you never knew about, who flies a single-engine plane onto the grassy landing strip, hitchhikes into town, and inquires at every door until he finds you asleep mid-afternoon, as you so often are during the unmerciful hours of your despair. It comes to the monk in his cell. It comes to the woman sweeping the street with a birch broom. To the child whose mother has passed out from drink. It comes to the lover. To the dog chewing a sock. To the pusher. To the basket maker. And to the clerk stacking cans of carrots in the night. It even comes to the boulder in the perpetual shade of pine barrens, to rain falling on the open sea, to the wine glass weary of holding wine. At St. Lydia's, we share the sermon. After a brief silence, I'll ring the bell. Did I
put it out? It's over here.
Oh, great. I'll ring the bell. And then you're invited to share a story that the sermon or the scripture brought up for you. We share stories and not opinions, because stories help us to know each other better, and Jesus told stories. And we keep our stories brief so we can hear from more people. We begin in silence.